Amy Johnson with the Fremont Ice Association. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And Amy's going to tell me all about this because I'm new back to the area, so you have to fill me in.
Okay, well, welcome. So I'm here on behalf of the Fremont Ice Association and the Fund the Rink campaign. And, you know, the history of this, the YMCA owns the Seidner Ice Arena, and it's been around, I think it opened in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been around, it's 20 years. And after 20 years, things need fixed. And so I am on the board of the Fremont Ice Association.
Okay.
And I, you know, came about that because both my boys play ice hockey. And the Ice Association was formed in 2010 out of the need to really focus on building the youth of ice skating, hockey, and have something for the community. So that's the history of the Fremont Ice Association. And after 20 years, the YMCA is really focused on spending their dollars to fix other parts of their facility. And so...
Oh, it's such a huge facility.
You
need organizations like the Ice Association to kind of head that up.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really in collaboration with the YMCA. And so we came together with them to figure out what's the best way to fix the ice and sustain it for the future. And so we kicked off the Fund the Rink campaign. It was really at the end of November, which is an odd time to kind of raise money, but we really want to move quick so the ice is in place for the hockey season next year.
And it's kind of your season. I mean, that's
correct.
When your season really gets going, doesn't
it? Yeah. So, you know, we've had some amazing generous donors, and right now we have a 21-day challenge going on. There's 6 days left in it. Where we had an anonymous generous donor come forward to match every dollar up to $300,000. So we're at about $125,000 of that, and we're trying to do a really big push for that last amount. So it's really an exciting time.
Yeah, that is. And not only do you try and approach businesses, but you're trying to hit some of those folks that maybe have an interest or had an interest in ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many. I mean, the ice is, hockey's a big part of it, but the community, it's very important to this community. There's not a block of ice time that's not booked. Midland University uses the ice. They have the number one.
Women's hockey is on fire right now.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I like over winter break, there was 5,000 kids that came through that rink. So it's a big part of this community, and it's used all the time. It's really important for the youth. I know there's a partnership with Fremont Public Schools where every second grader learns to skate. As part of that partnership. So it's, hockey's a big part of it, but it's also a huge part of just a place for kids to go in the community. And yeah, we're really proud of it, and we really feel strongly it needs to stay a nice rink.
Yeah, so personally, you're going to have to help me, because when I was a kid, I was able to skate. We had just figure skates. We didn't have hockey skates.
Right.
I put on the hockey skates. I cannot skate. I fall.
Yeah, you know, I can't.
What the heck is the deal?
I can't skate either. I'm just a hockey mom. But yeah, it's a different feel, I believe. I'm just very passionate about my kids having an outlet.
And my daughter was a figure skater.
Oh, cool.
But I had to cart her up to Omaha every Saturday because we didn't have the ice arena here. So, boy, that would have been handy all those years ago to have that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the difference in the sport, is just the lack of rinks, you know. And it's growing. And so it's really important that as a community we have facilities to support, you know, the hundreds and thousands of kids between Fremont, Omaha, surrounding areas.
We're talking with Amy Johnson with the Fremont Ice Association. So, yeah, talk about how far out you draw kids from.
Yeah, you know, we have a large group of kids here in Fremont, but there's kids that drive from Arlington, Bennington, Gretna, Omaha. I live in Elkhorn. I'm from Fremont originally.
Okay.
But, you know, all over. East Omaha, Council Bluffs, they're all looking for ice, and it's hard to come by, and so we really feel it's important to save this ice.
So all ages too, right?
Yeah. Yep. So actually just this last weekend there was a large, so hockey uses different terms. So mites is the lowest level skaters, and there was hundreds of kids that age that came for that tournament. And what it does for the community, brings all the grandparents and parents, and we have teams coming from all over the U.S. to Fremont, and it's really cool to have that Fremont, Nebraska on your jersey.
As far as raising money and well, what you want to actually do with the rink. Maybe talk a little bit about what you want to do with the soccer.
Yeah, so the rink was built on a sand bottom initially, and so that's the core of fixing the ice. We need to remove the ice, take the sand out, pour concrete. There's a lot of other things that need to happen after that. That's kind of the first phase, but there needs to be a new compressor and just some overall maintenance done on the rink. And so the first million is really focused on, let's get a new sheet of ice, let's get it in there, and then we'll to move to the more detailed things that need to happen at the rink. But that first million is our focus by the end of January to get that ice, get that all scheduled, and then we're going to be working towards that second million to get the other things done.
Right, because I'm sure that that's not an easy process.
No. There's a lot of people that are working really hard to get this done. And so the Fremont Ice Association is really running the fundraiser, getting all the contractors together. Angie, the rink director, is amazing. She's kept that thing together for a lot of years, and I can't say enough great things about her. That's
I would wonderful. Imagine every weekend it's crazy right now,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah, we're in the thick of hockey season. I was just in Canada. So we're in the thick of hockey seasons. Parents are traveling all over, and it's a blast. But yeah, it's a lot of running around.
Yeah. As far as the plans were, it's an Olympic size rink right now.
Right.
Probably shrinking it down to a regular.
To an NHL size. Yeah, NHL. Yep, which will give us some more room to do other things with the rink and just better use the space. And so working with all the right people to do that. And, you know, again, the focus will be to get the ice out, get it repaired, and then we'll be putting other things in place to really to make sure it's sustainable. I mean, it's been around 20 years. We need to make sure it's around for much longer than that. And this one-time fix will allow that. Mm-hmm. You know, everything with innovation changes. And so now we know more, and now we can work smarter and get the right facilities. So
if someone wants to become involved, how do they do that?
So we have built a website. Fundtherink.org is a great place to just go learn about the project. It has all of our sponsorship opportunities. You can do it online just by, you know, clicking which one you want. If you want, you know, to just write a check, that's fine too. There's a contact form. It's information@FremontFlyers.org. There's a phone number on there as well, but the website is really built to be the one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. It is a 501c3, so it's tax deductible. And obviously we're happy to come meet with anybody in person to explain, you know, where their dollars would be going, and especially now during this last 6 days, that they can double their money.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Donate now.
Yes.
I bet you've heard a lot of good stories too.
Oh my gosh. It's really, really cool. Like it's more than a rink. It really is. The memories that it's created for so many families has been really inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming
in. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah. Amy right. Johnson with the, with the Fremont Ice Association.
Yep.
Fund the rink. And it's got 6 days left, right?
6 days left for the 21-day challenge, but we'll be raising money for a while.
Yeah.
So
very good. Well, let's double up that money for sure.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. 8:42 Fremont's Morning Mix. More to come. We've got Three Rivers Public Health ready to go. And I saw Sheriff Weitzel out there too. So he's either going to arrest you or you have something to say. So is your car, your plates are good?
Yeah, they're good.
Good. We'll be right back. 844 Fremont's Morning Mix. We continue on this foggy Wednesday morning.
Yes.
Three Rivers Public Health here with us. I'll let you, you want to introduce Sarah this morning?
Yes, Sarah is here, and you are the, I wrote it down.
Oh, community health
educator. Yeah, one of the community health educators. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and here to remind us again about this month. Special month.
Yeah. So January is National Radon Action Month. And so radon, I know a lot of people hear about it. Some people might not know what it is. So radon is a naturally occurring odorless radioactive gas that is in the soil and rocks. And so places, especially basements, usually have the highest levels. And Nebraska is actually the third state in the country, or like we have the third highest risk level in Nebraska. For having high radon levels, especially in the eastern third of Nebraska, because there's a layer of rock that's closer to the surface. The surface. So Governor Pillen wants to push awareness of this issue because radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Oh, dear.
And it's entirely preventable. So that's just something that we're really trying to get in the forefront of people's minds because they may not think about it all the time.
Yeah. No, it is. In Nebraska especially, we need reminders. Matter of fact, our church this last weekend, the radon detector didn't go off, but the CO2, because the furnace had quit.
Yeah.
So another reminder, have all those batteries replaced and good.
Yeah, a good kind of habit to get into is every time you change the clocks, is change batteries in all your smoke detectors and CO2 detectors in your house. That's just kind of a nice way of remembering to do it.
So the radon testing kits still available, right?
Yes, we have radon testing kits available for only $1 at Three Rivers Public Health for people that live in this area, so Dodge, Saunders, and Washington County. They can come in or they can give us a call to pick up a kit because testing with one of those kits is the only way to detect if there's radon in your home. And it's not just basements that are at risk. It's just any house can trap it in there. So if you don't have a basement or you have like a walkout basement, don't think that you're not at risk as well. Yeah.
How do they work, Sarah? How, if I get a kit, what do I do?
That's a good question.
Follow the instructions on there.
And if anyone has questions, they can speak with Katie at Three Rivers Health.
Oh, sure.
And she'll definitely help you out with those kits.
Yeah, that it is. It's something you should do every year, and now's the time to do it this month.
Yeah, why everything is closed up.
And yeah, everything's closed up, and we're not really getting out of the house much, especially with the weather that we've had in the past few weeks.
So, but if your home does have radon in it, you don't have to demolish the home. There are things you can do.
Yeah, there's mitigation that can be done, so it's not something where, it's horrible news and you have to get rid of everything. It's just something where, you know, you need to find out if it's a problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you can take steps to take care of
it. Good.
Yeah. Especially if, it's been cold here the last couple of weeks, and some people may have added some insulation to their home.
Yeah.
And made it even more airtight.
Yeah.
Might
absolutely
be a good idea to get a radon testing kit.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I think that's why, January is the month that the big push is made because, it's colder and people are in their house more and, they're adding more insulation and might not be aware that there's this problem.
Yeah, for sure.
What about, can I change subjects just for
a
second?
Sure,
yeah.
Okay, COVID, you have COVID test kits,
We still do have free COVID test kits. So they're in our lobby at the Three Rivers Public Health Department. Each family can get 3 boxes and each box has 2 tests. So each family can get 6 tests for free. And these are ones as well that had that extension on the expiration date given to them.
Okay.
And so we have information on those, extended expiration dates in the lobby. And anyone can come in and they just grab 3 boxes and they're absolutely free.
Wonderful. Nice.
That's good.
Nice.
Still making the rounds, are you hearing?
Yeah, we're still hearing that. And then actually that's a great kind of segue into another thing I wanted to talk about. So we have now started doing RSV vaccines for adults 60 and up. So people typically just think RSV with babies and younger children, but it's also an issue with adults over age of 60, especially if they have some sort of they're immunocompromised. So
COPD or something.
Kind of like that, you're at much higher risk of contracting RSV. And so, we're now offering those RSV vaccines for adults 60 and up.
Okay.
And does insurance, you turn your insurance in? Or?
Insurance will cover those, yes. So it's private stock. And then it's also still not too late to get your flu shot because January, we're like in the peak of flu season. So you can still come in and get your flu shots as well.
Have you seen how the numbers are here with flu, or do you have any information on that?
I don't have those current numbers. Okay. I know we get them. It's not anything where we're raising a big concern over things of high numbers. I know there have been some higher numbers kind of in younger people, like kiddos. That's, you know, we're just trying to get the word out that it's absolutely not too late to get your flu shot.
Well, that's good news to hear.
Yeah, I got mine a while back.
Yeah, so yeah.
I think probably, October.
You don't want to be a freak about it and get another one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to get another one. Yeah, no, thankfully. Yeah, they're good for
asking
the flu season.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend.
Sarah, thank you. Anything else? You.
I think that's it right now. You know, February, we'll be getting into kind of pushing our dental program, the Bright Smile. So we'll have more on that in February because we've got some exciting news about that.
Yeah,
I won't give away the secret. So you'll find out more about that in February.
Good deal. ThreeRiversPublicHealth.org on the web is the best place to go. But remember, radon kits, $1.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 quarters, 20, whatever you have in your car, and the 20 nickels, 10 dimes, just bring it in and say, I want a radon kit. Mm-hmm. Make sure your house is safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, 8:50. We'll talk to the Dodge County Sheriff's Office next here, Fremont's Morning Mix. Until then, let's see. We'll go a little tub thumping. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, perfect.
We'll be right back. 8:54, Fremont's Morning Mix. We continue on this Wednesday. And with that, the Dodge County Sheriff's Office with us as Sheriff Dustin Weitzel, along with Sergeant Bree Frank. Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Nice to have you guys here. And I know the one thing at the top of your mind is still hiring, isn't it?
I feel like we're always hiring, unfortunately, we are transitioning from our courthouse positions. Now we're hiring for deputy sheriff positions. So now's the time to put in those applications. If you've ever been interested in law enforcement, want to know more, check out our website at dodgecountysheriffne.com. And that's where you can fill out the application as well. That application is open until February 6th. Then we'll have written and physical testing on February 10th. So we're excited to get some people in and those applications in. We had a really strong first week, so I hope it continues.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe remind our listeners, do you need a degree of some sort to apply for these?
No degree, high school diploma, GED, or high school diploma or the equivalent. And we like to see, you know, college or just that you finish something that's good but not required. Conviction-free past. There's some things that can still go through. However, you know, the felonies or serious misdemeanors are going to disqualify you. And really, we want good people. So if you're questioning it or not sure if maybe you're qualified or have any questions, reach out to us. Let us know either by email or our website so that we can chat with you and let you know that's probably something that you want to do.
Yeah. Would it be possible, let's say I wanted to start with, I know you said you're getting close to filling those courthouse positions, but wouldn't that be a good place to start where somebody said, I want to do that first?
Absolutely. You know, we had the applications for the courthouse screeners go in beginning in January, mid-January. Interviewed some of those people last week and, you know, hoping to get that up and running by the beginning to middle of February here. And if you're interested in something like that for a stepping stone type of deal, or even working at corrections, and those, you know, corrections is full right now, but we have some of those screeners, you know, it's a part-time position, so they may, you know, be here for a while and move on and hoping, you know, we're hoping that they apply for the deputy spot as well.
Yeah,
it'd be a good opportunity for some of the younger people to start in that position.
And it takes a little bit to get to that point where you're actually working a regular a shift or such. But maybe generally, where does a deputy start pay-wise? Can you give an idea?
Yeah, we start at $26.04, and that tops out at about $36. Okay. So we have really good support. We have really good community support. We have really good support from the county board. So we are pretty much in, we think we make a lot of money, but other people might not agree. However, you're well compensated for the job that we do, and we're excited to get people in because those wages have increased in the last 3 years pretty significantly.
Yeah, good deal. Lately, I imagine with the weather, you probably haven't had as many people out and about going through things or stealing things, but the phone has become something to be aware of.
Yeah, Chris. I received two different calls last week of some phone scams. One locally, again, was somebody representing the sheriff's office here in Dodge County that stated that the individual they had called had an outstanding warrant for their arrest. But they obviously didn't give them any information and called us and said, hey, you know, I just want to check and make sure this isn't real. And again, it was kind of a phone scam type of deal that had a warrant. You can pay over the phone to take care of it. You know, we'll never contact you by phone and pay it over the phone, right? So be cognizant of the local one. And then the second one was individual got a call from Customs Border and the Border, like U.S. Border Patrol.
Okay.
Stating that they had received a package through the border down in like the Texas area, had your name and stuff on it, you know, some illegal narcotics and things like that that was coming to your residence, and another warrant it was issued, and then you could take care of it over the phone and, you know, and pay and take care of that. So, again, neither individual gave out any information. Please don't give out any information over the phone to pay, you know, for anything like that. So just be aware of something.
Can you set something up where you actually, maybe you give them an account, but then you take their money?
I'm sure there's a way.
You know, they give me those phone numbers and we call them back.
And do they ever answer?
Well, sometimes they have.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so years past that we've had people, you know, they'll answer, but I tried on both of these and it went to like a, you know, it didn't, nobody answered it.
Right.
Actually, one was a fax machine, I believe.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So
sure.
Yeah. Amazing how they can
numbers.
Yeah. You know? It's amazing how they can do that.
You know,
and then get the names of real deputies.
And that's just it. They'll, you know, they'll go and check and find out the name of some of our officers and use that information. And they have all of our phone numbers and everything that, you know, it may even come up as the sheriff's office number or something, you know, pretty close to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. With all the snow here in the last week, it is. It makes for a mess. So a lot of different, I suppose you get a lot of different calls.
Yes.
Different things going on.
Yeah. We kind of, well, we as an agency, we've dubbed this storm Snowmageddon 2024. It's not official by any means, but if we are talking about it, that's kind of how we talk about it. We kind of ran the numbers from Friday, January 12th to kind of the 16th. And those numbers were pretty significant. However, we only had four cruisers that got stuck.
That's not correct.
Oh.
We had six.
We had six. Okay, never mind. So we were pretty, we were digging ourselves out.
Yeah.
So,
sure, we'll have the other ones.
With that being said, total calls for all agencies in the county was 515 over the 4 to 5 day period. For law enforcement and fire.
Law enforcement, fire, rescue. Everybody.
Motorist assists were, we did 42 of those. Again, stranded vehicles with people in them that were taken to shelter were 19.
Okay.
Transported 19 individuals that were actually stuck out there. We had four property damage accidents and one resulting with injuries. So not a lot of accidents, which was good.
Yeah.
Because those are hard to work, obviously, during that weather condition. But a lot of those were, you know, slide-offs that either get back on the road or we get called to. And then again, you know, we tell you to stay home and give you all the warning. We ourselves got stuck. We had six cruisers get stuck that we had to dig ourselves out. Fortunately, I mean, if we can't get there, you know, we're telling you not to go somewhere, you know, and,
right.
And even if you have, like you mentioned earlier, Chris, a four-wheel drive vehicle, you may get a little further than some people, but you're still going to get stuck in a 10-foot drift.
You're not immune. Yeah.
For sure.
And we had to have that extra equipment come in, you know,
from
other states and get, you know, the plows and the big blowers up on 91 and around the whole eastern part of the state was using that equipment that normally we, you know, we don't use.
Yeah, those east-west roads were just not, the wind just kept on going, that's for sure.
And that was just it. Like, even the other day with a minimal blowing.
On Sunday morning,
Yes.
Roads be turning, I mean, you guys were working, and the road just becomes slick and icy again with the snow.
Yeah.
Deputy Kampsteiner really held on to the northern part of the county for us. He actually assisted in getting payloaders, snowmobiles, and Snyder Fire to about, I think, about seven or eight people that were stranded on Highway 91. So Deputy Kampsteiner really orchestrated that, got it all together. They went out kind of as a group with the payloaders to be able to move through the snow, get these people out. They left their cars there. Then they were able to be transported to Snyder and to Snyder Fire. So he really did a great job in the northern half because some of them couldn't get there. So.
Yeah.
I know in Iowa, they put out calls. Several counties have put out calls to get snowmobilers ready to be on call in case they ever need this again. So
it's
a good idea to have one, put it to good use.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a different part of our job. You know, we're not obviously stopping cars for speeding and, you know, we're taking our calls, but yet it's, you know, for that 4 or 5 days, it's pretty much rescue.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it is.
And we're trying to get to people ourselves, but if, you know, we can't get there, you know, we try to make opportunities and, and maybe have to reach out to other people and find equipment to get there. So we appreciate all that help too.
Yeah. I didn't give you any warning on this, but this morning I read a story on a bill being introduced in the legislature on texting and driving again, where it would become a primary offense instead of you have a taillight on, and by the way, I saw you texting. Yeah, that just doesn't work. But I guess I just wanted to kind of 45 other states do have primary offense laws now.
Correct. And I heard your numbers from the patrol from last year, and they were very minimal.
Hardly anything. Yeah.
And a lot of our accidents are because of distracted driving and, you know, phone use. I personally would think that that would be a top priority for the state to get that passed, just for the distracted driving and the crashes and everything that happens because of it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It is Wednesday, so would you rather?
Absolutely.
All right, good, good. All right, the first one, I don't know about this. Would you rather get a face tattoo of something you choose or a tattoo in a discrete area, but someone else chooses it randomly?
Let somebody else choose it.
I'm because not the I'm random not getting, one.
No, not on the face.
Not yeah. on the face. No way. No way. Oh,
that is scary.
Would you rather not know you smell like poo oh. or always smell poo? No one else can smell.
That is tough.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather do the second one. I don't want to smell like poo.
Yeah.
At least have somebody say, it. You smell like poo.
Right. Yeah.
You know, did I step in it?
Right. Yeah. Dog again. Third one. This one, would you rather wake up as the opposite sex once a month or wake up in a strange place once a year?
Strange place once
strange
a year.
Place.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you could find your way back.
I would think yeah. I'd be yeah. able to find out.
And it could be a beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be a tropical climate.
Or yeah. it could be Siberia.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, true.
All right, last one. Would you rather get $10,000 now or find a penny whenever you reach into your pocket? You have your finger in your hands in your pocket right now, so
yeah. Yeah. He could probably do the math on that real quick, but I don't know what the
I take the money and run right now.
Yeah, that's less work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But I don't know. I think I could reach in my pocket.
Could be a lot of pennies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'd probably get tired of it, but headed to the bank every day.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah, all right. For sure. All right. Well, thanks for the information. If anybody has something and they maybe see something suspicious, numbers and ways to reach you guys.
Yeah, give us a call. Obviously, if it's an emergency, 911, 402-727-2700 for any non-emergency suspicious things that you wanted to report. And also, if you want to remain anonymous, that P3 app through Crime Stoppers or the Zerker portal online.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Thank you, guys.
And Sergeant Frank, we appreciate your time as always. 9:06. That's going to do it for us.
We're done with the Wednesday, but yeah. we'll be back tomorrow.
Uh-huh. We'll be back here 6 a.m. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.